But Brother Ricky, you come and you share what God has put on your hearts, brother. Thank you so much. Thank your heart. You only got one, right?
I only got one. I only got one heart and one message here.
Amen.
Fortunately, last night we all set our clocks ahead an hour. So actually, your body's still used to this.
That's true.
So if I preach for an hour, we're still okay, right?
Crickets chirping.
Chirp, chirp. Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, these teenagers are going, huh? That's all right. People have slept long before I preached an hour. Psalm 51. And I can promise you, we will not be here long tonight. I want you to know, though, that while you're turning there, the opportunity that we've had over the last 20 plus years to go to the Wilds has been a tremendous blessing in my life. I cannot tell you how much I have gained just from being there, watching these teenagers, watching these evangelists, watching that staff work, watching how that camp actually runs. It's a great place. If you've never been to the Wilds for any of their camps, you really ought to consider it. I think Brother Brinson got some different brochures of the different camps that go on all throughout the year. They have camps for young people, old people like us. They have camps for couples. They have camps for men. They have father-son retreats. They've got it all.
Amen.
So just take some time. Go to their website. Look at the places that you might be interested in and take a trip there. I think you'd love it. Now, I'm not a new representative for the Wilds, but I didn't want to tell you that. But if you've got over to Psalm 51 now, I want to talk to you just a minute here in this. This is a psalm that was written. David wrote this psalm in a very dark time of his life. Because something had just happened. And young people, I want you to understand, something may have just happened to you at the Wilds, either this weekend or last weekend with the college and career, or maybe the couples. It was just a couple of weekends ago. Something may have happened to you that is very similar to what we're going to look at tonight. Because what has happened right here, what is going on in David's life, is he has just been confronted with sin. He has just been seated upon the throne and had the prophet Nathan come in and shake his finger in his face. You know, evidently, Nathan must have been a fundamental independent Baptist preacher. Because he walked up and he shook his finger at him and he said, "Thou art the man." What he was doing is he was relaying the message the Holy Spirit had through that prophet to tell David that the sin that he had just committed with Bathsheba and then on to the murderous plot that he had done in order to kill her husband had now been confronted with it. And as David got this information, he wrote this psalm. And you know, it's interesting. These psalms are psalms from his heart. I taught a class at Gwinnett Hall, and the class that I taught was on the book of Psalms. And one of the things that I did is I made all of our students write a psalm. And some of them were going, "How do we write a psalm?" I said, like David did. It comes out of your heart. It's your relationship with God.
Yeah.
It's how you feel about that relationship with God. And David's relationship here had been changed drastically with this confession of sin. And as we begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 51, listen to what he says. David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression." See, David was pleading. He understood that sin had now been exposed in his life. And young people, maybe this weekend while the preacher was preaching, maybe some sin had been exposed in your life now. And it may be a time to plead and ask God, say, "Lord, you know what? You're right. This is sin." Some of you were saying, "You know, I never thought about fear being so sinful," but it is. Because when we have that fear in our life, we are just not at all trusting in God. We're not trusting Him for the future. Now, we say we're trusting Him with our lives to get us to heaven, but we won't trust Him for the very next thing in our life. David continues on as he says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Listen at him pleading that God would do something. Not only is he asking for mercy, but he's admitting this sin. And some of you in your testimony tonight actually stood up and admitted your sin, acknowledged it. He went on to say that in verse 3 that I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Now listen, what David's not saying here, he's not saying that his sin is always going to be a mark against him that's always there. But what he's saying is, God, never let me forget this. Never let me forget this break in my relationship with you so that I can be restored and understand what mercy is all about. Listen, David had a pleading that was going on, but he went on from the pleading to a purging. Listen to what he says. Starting in verse 7, we skip a few verses there. He says, purge me with hyssop. Now listen, if you think back in the Old Testament times, if you go all the way back to the book of Exodus, at the time of the Passover when it was brought up, one of the first things that was given to Moses to tell the people, he said, hey, tell them to take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood and sprinkle it on the doorpost. And if you just picture in your mind right now, let me step out from around here. Because I had to get this picture in my mind. Some of you are going to say, oh, that's so hell. We've known that forever. But when I was reading through the book of Exodus one time, I got this picture in mind. I can't get rid of it. Because you think about them taking that bunch of hyssop. I know I'm not near the microphone, so I'll just talk about it. And so they took that bunch of hyssop and they dipped it in the blood. Now listen, the way that it says is that you strike the doorpost in the lintel. It didn't say, brush it on over here, and brush it on over here, and brush it on over here. It said to strike it. Now, how many of you ever picked up a wet paintbrush or any kind of wet thing? If you dipped it in something, and you hit here, what's it going to do? And when you hit here, what's it going to do? Well, we've got a call. It's on the door of them. We've got a call. God was talking about the pleading of the blood, and David is looking here and saying, look, this is already a picture of what Christ is doing. He's saying, purge me with hyssop. Purge me with the blood.
Amen.
And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. You ever sang that song? David said, God, I've sinned. But if you'll purge me, if you'll purge me and cleanse me, it'll be gone. I can't do it in myself. How many of you, college career, teens, when you're confronted with something, the first thing you think of is, what do I need to do to change? Me too. I go through the list. Well, let's see, if I do this and I do this and I do this, well, I should be able to not do that and do... That's not what God wants to do. He says, trust me. When we're confronted with sin, instead of trying to figure out our next step to get out of it, what we ought to do is say, oh, Lord, have mercy. Purge me. Cleanse me. Let me get back in the relationship. You know, you can't follow somebody if you can't see them. You ever been in a dark place, tried to follow somebody through the woods or something like that? I used to go deer hunting with a guy. And for some reason, I don't know how it worked out, when we get out of the truck, he had the flashlight. And we'd be going through the woods. He'd go, I'll take you to your deer stand. He could see every step he was making. I'm back here fighting limbs because I couldn't see any of it. If we want to see who we're following, we've got to focus our eyes on that light. And David here is saying, purge me, cleanse me, let me be able to see you again, let me be able to follow you. He says in verse 10, create in me, listen, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, that's what happens. When we ask God to forgive us of our sin, you know what He does? He takes away our sin. Isn't that simple enough? He takes it away. And it's not somewhere where He goes, all right, well, I'm going to hang it over here on the wall. That way, every time you fall back into it, you just look right over there because I got it on record. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches when we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, listen, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
All. He takes it. He takes your sin. You confess it to Him. He takes it and He goes, you're forgiven. And you never see it again. And God never says, Lindsay, remember this? That's not of God.
That's right.
If something comes to you and says, do you remember that? I mean, can I tell you? It's the devil.
That's right.
He's the accuser. He's the one that's going to bring it up, not only in front of God, but in front of you all the time. He's going to make you say, I just can't do it. I'm struggling with that sin and I just don't know how to get over it. It's because the devil keeps waving it in front of your face. Look at him and say, I follow Jesus. You can't fight the devil. We can't win in that battle. We just follow Jesus. Follow Him into the battle and you're sure to win. Now listen, He says, create in me a clean heart. Make it new again. He didn't say, take my old heart out and fix it up for me and put it back. It's not like He's restoring an old car. He said, create in me a new one. Give me a brand new heart. You know, I have heart problems. I've got 3 stents. And if you don't know what a stent is, it's one of the little spring things. They stick it in your artery and they open it up and it keeps you going. Let me tell you one of the things that happened to us this weekend. We were at the Wiles and we were unloading the trailer Friday evening. We have a little blue bag, and I mean, when I say a little blue bag, it's a bag that's about this big, about this wide, and it's as old school as you can get. It's an old Samsonite overnight travel bag. Some of you that's above the age of 50 know exactly what I'm talking about. It's vinyl. You know, it looks leather, but it's not, because they don't make leather in blue. But it's ugly. It really is. But we've had it. I mean, Andrea had it when she was in high school, at least. And we carry that thing on every trip, every vacation. So we've obviously got something that nobody was looking to steal. But when we took it off of the trailer, we sat it on the ground. I went and helped Mr. Brock park the trailer and everything else. And I was all happy. And I jumped in the van with somebody so I wouldn't have to walk up those 113 steps. And we pulled around there. And I got up there and I walked in. And Andrew said, where's our blue bag? And I went, oh, it's on the ground down there. So I had to walk down the 113 steps. And I get down there at the bottom, and it's not there. And I'm thinking, who stole our bag? You know, boy, are they in for a surprise. They're going to open it up. They're going to find our toothbrushes, our toothpaste, and all of my heart medication. You know, there's nothing they can even sell and make money off of unless they want somebody's heart to explode. But all that's in there. And you know what? I didn't have it all weekend. You know when we found it? Today, when we were loading the trailer, heading back, we found it. Yes, we did brush our teeth. We went and bought toothbrushes. Don't worry. Don't worry. We did go and buy a toothbrush. But what I'm saying is God, I mean, the doctor's fixed up my heart. You know, I go in there and they go, oh, yeah, we'll put another stent in there. We'll help you out again. You know, quit eating so much. But what God is saying, what David is saying here, God created me a new one. Make me a fresh heart. Give me a brand new heart to love you more with. Create in me a clean heart. Purge out all my iniquities. And listen, he says, and restore, in verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. How many of you, when you got saved, you went, oh, man, dog, I got saved. No, you were happy about it. You know, if you weren't happy for anything else, you were happy to the fact that you knew you weren't going to hell, you were headed to heaven. If that was the only thing you were happy about, at least you should have been happy about that. Your destination, your eternal destination had been changed. Now, can I say something right here? You may be here tonight. I don't care if you've been in this church 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 hours, or 50 years. If you're depending on anything, other than Jesus Christ to get you to heaven, you're headed in the wrong direction.
Yes. Yes.
Nothing other than Jesus Christ will get you into heaven.
That's right.
Not your good works. Not anything that you've done. I don't care how long you've taught Sunday school. I don't care how long you've sang in the choir. I don't care how long you've preached a sermon. Without Jesus Christ in your heart, you'll never see eternal life in heaven. And tonight we're going to give an invitation. We're going to give an opportunity. And if you've been here forever and you say, oh, I've just been here so long, everybody thinks I'm saved. You know what? They would rather know then think.
That's right.
There's no time like tonight to get saved. Whether you're a young person or an old person.
Yeah.
Think of this. The Bible says that the angels rejoice when one soul is saved. When one is brought in. Think of how it must feel in heaven when one church member dies and goes to hell. Do you think that's probably a pretty bad time in heaven? They've had so many opportunities. They wasted it. David says, create in me a clean heart. Restore unto me the joy that I had at salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Oh, but listen. In all this praise, there's a reason behind it. Listen to what he says. Then, verse 13, I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Young people, you were talking about being able to be a good witness. I want to be a good witness. Can I tell you something? If you'll purge sin from your heart, David says right here, then you'll be able to talk to transgressors. Then you'll see people converted. See, the problem that we have in our lives is people judge us just like we judge them. And people look at you and your life and they say, well, they're not much better than I am. They do this and they do that. And just because they go to church, they think they're going to go to heaven. Can I tell you something? God says we are peculiar people. We ought to stand out. When we go places, now it doesn't mean we have to look weird. Okay? It doesn't mean we have to dress weird. It doesn't mean we have to do things like that. But what it does mean is people ought to notice that there's a difference in your life. People ought to look at you and say, I don't know what he has, but I want it. People ought to say, I don't know what's going on in their life. I know the troubles they're going through. I know where he works. I know how much he makes. I don't know how they're doing it, but something is different about them and they're happy about it. Can I tell you? That's the joy of the Lord. And if people see the joy of the Lord and if you keep that heart clean and you say, God, help me, he says, then you can teach transgressors. Then sinners will be converted. You want to be a good witness? Work on your heart first. Don't work on theirs. Work on yours. God says, I need workers who love me, who are clean and holy, dedicated unto me.
Yeah.
Doesn't help if we go on visitation at night and we've got all this sin in our life and we go, well, you need to get saved, sinner. Because there's something going on in our life that even that person can see right through. And don't think the devil won't bring it up to them. Man, that's the most arrogant preacher I ever seen in my life. I'm sure you've heard stuff like that. Why does he think he's the only one going to heaven? Oh, we don't think we're the only ones going to heaven. We want something to go with us. And that's why we go out. And that's why we visit. That's why when we talk to people, that's why we hand out tracts. David says, hey, if you plead after God for a cleansing and you'll purge yourself and you'll be clean from your sin, then God can use you. Then can you see souls converted? People, we're not out to build numbers in this church. It'd be great to see every seat in this auditorium full. But if they're in here for an entertainment value, we've brought them in for the wrong thing.
Right.
If they're in here because we tickle their ears with the Word of God where it doesn't convict them of sin, we've brought them in for the wrong reason. Mega churches are out there and they exist. And they exist a lot of times for the sole purpose of entertainment.
Sure.
The Word of God is not an entertainment guide.
That's right.
And there's a fine line between legalism and holiness. And we need to make sure we stay on the side of holiness. Because that's what people will see.
Yes.
If that's what's in your heart. David pleaded. David purged himself and he praised God for what he did. Where are you tonight? Where's your heart? Is your heart sold out to God? If there's one sin in your heart, your heart's not sold out to God. You're still trusting in self. You're still letting self fill you with the excitement instead of the joy of the Lord being in your heart. Every head bowed, every eye closed.